Amen. Yes, your name is power, present in the water. Such a marvelous mystery. You created us to reflect your glory. We are your living church, Lord. Help us, the body of Christ, the representation of you on the earth, to make change to this earth, Lord. Help us, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be soaked in that Holy Spirit, to reflect you in everything that we do and say. Thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. May you be praised in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And
they all said, amen.
Our next speaker is Dave Noe. He's been married for 50 years. He has two boys, two grandchildren, two daughters, granddaughters. What else? And I helped.
And he has a lovely wife. Undeserving of her husband.
Okay.
We all agree.
Yeah. I know you do.
This talk is restoration of gospel healing.
Amen. So,
yeah.
Yes.
We need a lot of prayers for this guy. So,
I'm going on the other side.
On the other side? All right. Very good.
Rehearse this. Can you
talk?
Oh, dear Lord. We give you all the glory and praise for all that you've done. The beginning of this weekend has been marvelous.
Thank you, Lord.
Continue your grace upon each one of the speakers, the grace upon Dave and his words, that in your name he speaks from his heart. His heart is full of you, Lord. That part I know. I ask for your guidance and blessing for what he's to say, that it is something that you do want him to say.
Yes.
And the ears of those who are hearing is what they need to hear. I do ask for our guardian angels to fill this place, to fill wherever these words go, so that anything that is evil cannot be
present
or intimidating us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you've given to us, and may we return those gifts to those that hear. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, I'm not plugged in. This is how you get rid of me, right? Once you let the key in. It'll just be a minute or two. It does. It really does. So for the purposes of the tape, this is a part of a series of talks on discovering the spiritual gifts of healing, intercession, and miracles, given at Presentation Ministries Discipleship Center, part of Restoration of the Gospel of Healing. Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for loving us and caring for us, we your people. We ask you, Lord, to continue to use us as church. Lord, continue to anoint us. Help us, Lord, to understand that we all are gifted. Neither are we worthy, but we are worthy because of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who died and gave his life for us. But we, Lord, operate in faith as we were challenged today, Lord. We operate in faith. Help us, Lord, to increase that faith in us. Help us to be saturated with that faith and that love and that mercy that you showed us so clearly in your presence here on earth. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
First, can everybody hear me okay? I have a pretty large mouth, but if anybody can't hear me, just raise your hand, shake it, and we'll go from there. So today our emphasis is on Jesus the healer, the restoration of New Testament healing, Jesus the model of healing, healing in God's plan, the imitation of Christ as healer, doctor's orders, and do I have the gift of healing, and the identity and characteristic of a healer. And the majority of this content will be found in a little booklet there. It's on the table. I'll hold it up here. It's Healing in the Imitation of Christ. Very good. So.
From your angel.
From your angel. So first off, Jesus is the healer.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus is the healer. We are not the healers. Jesus Christ is the healer. We are the conduits of the flow of God's healing from him, Jesus, to the person that we are praying for. I've been on prayer teams where the priest will say, now, don't blame yourself if that person you're praying for isn't healed. Or don't pat yourself on the back if that person is healed. Or take credit in any way. We, again, are not the healers. We're the conduits of healing. We're the ministers of healing. But we do have a responsibility to keep our conduits clear and free and open and unobstructed. And Father sort of gave us that here today. We walk in that faith. We walk in the sacraments, etc. So we are a conduit of God's love, God's mercy, and God's healing. What can we do to ensure that our conduits are clean and not inhibiting God's flow of healing to any way? So we need to make sure that we are free from anything. So let us look for a minute, God the healer, through the action of the Holy Spirit. If we consider a person coming to us for healing, we realize the Holy Spirit has already been at work. You know, we can't outdo God. He's called the person, number one, to receive healing, to attend the service, to attend this, to be here. Okay? Two, he's prepared the person to start receiving healing even before he enters into this place. He started to touch your hearts, tugging and pulling at your hearts. He prepared you even before you got here. For even before you entered, the Holy Spirit was at work. So God is already ahead of us. It's amazing that he uses us, but he still does. So he uses the message being proclaimed. What a wonderful message today the Father had for us. I mean, he did this whole talk, basically. And he did it with the preciseness of using the Word of God, which the Word of God is living and real, and it is healing. And that's what the church is all about, by the way. The church is healing. The Mass is healing. Everything about the church is healing. So Holy Spirit is working. Holy Spirit is working through that word that's proclaimed. And he selected you, each one of you, as that prayer person or that prayer team or your prayer itself to pray for that person. He's using you and using that prayer and using you in that service or whatever it is that you are involved with that day. And he will continue, not only stop there, but he'll continue after you leave, after you go home, after you continue to ponder on what God just did, the miracle he just did in us. So he's still working, even after you leave that person. And he still continues to do his work. I'll share a little bit. We went to Wisconsin. We prayed for a guy in Wisconsin. I had the privilege of praying for him. And he was in a wheelchair. And I really didn't know what his problem was totally, other than he was in a wheelchair. So he sat in the front pew. And I went over and prayed for him. And I said, let's do something you couldn't do before. Said, well, that would be walk. And I said, okay, well, let's get out and walk. In the name of Jesus, left foot forward. In the name of Jesus, right foot forward. In the name of Jesus, left, right. And I said, let's continue to walk around the church. So he went around the church three times. And I said, could you do that before? And he said, no, couldn't do that before. I said, praise God. Give glory and praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we want to see more and more. I'm going to tell you a little more about that a little bit later. But then I prayed for him again. There was another high worship time. We prayed for him again, and around the church he went two more times. And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story a little bit later, because I want to tell you a little bit how Jesus heals first before I go in the rest of it. But he later on was to take me to the airport. So we'll give you the rest of that story a little bit later. So Jesus is already working. He prepared that person to be there. He prepared that person to hear that word, which is very powerful and effective. I stepped out in faith and walked him around, and the Holy Spirit was still working afterwards. I'm going to give you the rest of the story in a minute. So Jesus, the model of healing. Jesus, the model of healing. God the Father wants to heal his people so much more than we desire. So much more than we desire. Jesus wants to heal us so much that he decided to send his son Jesus on a cross. He sent us into this world to bring healing and the kingdom into this world. By his wounds, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. The Holy Spirit wants to heal us so much more than we can imagine, because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And healing is not out of the ordinary for Jesus in the scriptures. In the four main gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are approximately 3,779 verses of scripture. Of those, approximately 727 verses are related to mental, physical, and spiritual healing. We had one of them today. Very good example. And there are 41 distinct instances of mental, physical, and spiritual healing in the Gospels. Therefore, healing is commonplace. Healing is commonplace for Jesus. That's what he did. Healing is commonplace. Many Christians have patterned their ministries after imperfect copies of Jesus' healing ministry, and thus have deviated more and more from the original. And maybe because of these deviations, we don't see as many healings taking place. But nonetheless, Jesus healed, and what he healed, he did 100% of the time. So we're going to look at the pattern of Jesus' healing. Jesus heals by command. Jesus heals by command. He commanded the illness to go. We do the same thing by saying, in the name of Jesus,
right.
I command you, illness, to leave now, or whatever that is. In the name of Jesus, I command you back to come to attention. In the name of Jesus, I command you, pain, to leave. It says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, so that at Jesus' name, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord of all?
Yes.
Yes. Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. In most instances, the apostles healed by command with laying on of hands. We find that in Acts chapter 9 and also in chapter 28. So Peter said to the crippled person, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. In Acts 3:6. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Walk. Told him to walk. And so that's what I did too. In the name of Jesus, walk. Aeneas, Jesus heals. Jesus heals you. He gives that command. And we saw that here in the gospel today. Rise and make your beds. And of course, grandmothers and grandfathers and mothers, that's a good scripture for your kids, you know. Rise and make your beds. Walk and get the breath. No. Ananias restored Paul's sight. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has sent me that you may regain your sight. And again, he is commanding the sight to be regained. By the way, just a side note, if he didn't do that for Paul, where would we be today? If that Ananias didn't step out in faith, if we don't step out in faith, where are we going to be today? Where is church going to be today? Sorry, got it off the side, little sidetrack there. But Ananias obeyed the commandment that God gave him and told Saul's eyes to be healed, to regain your sight in Jesus' name. St. Paul heals the crippled man. Stand up on your feet. St. Paul removes evil spirits. I charge you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. Acts chapter 16. St. Paul restores to life. Do not be alarmed. There is life in him in Acts 20:10. So there's nothing that can stop Jesus' action. The command in Jesus' name to be healed. Jesus taught with authority, didn't he? He knew who he was. Do we know who we are? We're a child and daughter and son of the living God. That's who we are. We are, was told us earlier, priest, prophet, and king.
Yes.
We're daddy's children. And I'm telling you, daddy really loves us. He really does, despite us at times. Jesus operated in the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were fully operative in his life while he was healing a person. And so we have, again, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that's up here on the table. Again, Jesus has 100% track record. Everyone who came to him was healed. Everyone that came to him was healed. So you got a quiz after this. So a 10-point extras for your quiz, 10 points on your test tonight. What did Peter do that we have no record of Jesus doing? Somebody look that up in Acts 5, verse 15. What did Peter do that we have no record of Jesus doing? At least his shadow might fall on him. Peter's shadow fell on the person. We are to do greater things than Jesus. Peter's shadow fell on a person and he was healed. Jesus tells us that. You will do greater things than I. Jesus was filled with, and we heard this before, love in Bunny's talk, love, compassion, and pity. We are to have that same attitude that Jesus has for everyone that comes to us and is prayed for. Love, compassion, and pity. Jesus used touch to heal. He touched a person. He touched their eyes. He used the word of God. The word of God is healing, just like we had in the scriptures today. These are healing remedies. It's the salve that we put on our sores or whatever it is that's bothering us. Sometimes Jesus didn't heal immediately all the time. Miracles happen right away. Healings happen a little slower, maybe not immediately, take a little longer time. So we are going to go back to Wisconsin for a minute. And I was telling you about Ray. Ray was healed, walked around the church. And, you know, I never know how or what the condition of these people are we pray for totally. But I did know that he walked around the church and he was amazed. So I thought, well, that's good. He said he's going to take me to the airport. So I thought, well, that's good. I'll get to talk a little bit more about things. So we got into his van. The first clue was the van. And I got in the van and he has all kinds of hand controls and so on and so forth. And I said, whoa, man, you're going to take me to the airport. So I had two reasons to pray. One, it wasn't finished yet. I woke up that morning and he says, I have tingling in my legs and I've never had that before. I said, that's a really good sign. That's a good sign that the nerves are coming back to life, that you never had feeling before. Now you have feeling. Something is happening. God is continually working. So anyway, we went to the airport. It was about a half hour, 45 minute run. And I was praying for him and I was talking to him as well, but I was interceding for him, praying for him. And he dropped me off and I said, well, I'll continue to pray for you and give him a blessing and left. And on the way back, he got feeling and movement in his feet and his legs. And he first called his wife and told her, he says, honey, I can feel my feet again. I can move my feet again. So then he went and told his pastor. And then he told the priest that we were with that was leading the service. And praise God. It was an amazing, amazing time to see God work. So a miracle, what may happen right instantaneously, healing sometimes take a little more time. I want to tell you just another story because I want to encourage you. The second story I'm going to tell you about was, I think it was a Marian conference that we were working and we were invited to pray for people for healing. So there's a woman there that was in a wheelchair. If you're going to pray for somebody that you don't see any problems with, you know, and you want to, because you don't want to feel like maybe that didn't happen, you know, you got to step out in faith, right? Got to step out in faith. So there was a wheelchair there, and I said, okay, you want to, was it okay for me to pray for you? Yes. I said, you want to walk around the auditorium in Jesus' name? And she said, yes. And, so I said, okay, well, let's go. And so we walked around two or three times. But the amazing story is, yes, she walked. And yes, she was on oxygen. And the Holy Spirit already worked on that because the oxygen ran out. Her tank went empty. And her husband says, we're going to this miracle service. We're going to be healed.
Amen.
So she, her husband, and she had the faith to be healed. And I was just a messenger saying, yep, you're right. Let's go. Let's do it. So she walked around. But the amazing thing that was going on is the people said, how can he do that? And so the priest said, I challenge you. And I'm going to challenge each one of you. Anybody here have any pain anywhere? I mean, noticeable pain that you can claim that you, if you were prayed for, that it'd be gone. You could tell. You have pain? You have pain? Okay. So you guys start praying because I'm going to continue to talk because I can't stop here or I'll get fired. So you go ahead. Some of you pray for Jim and what's your name?
Jim.
Jim twice. Two Jims. That might be something right there. So pray for Jim while we're talking. And then I want you to do something you couldn't do before when we finish up here. So it says in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, he summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over demons. He gave them power and authority to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God. He sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, I have to sort of stay within the confines of this. I'm getting moving around here a little bit. But Kingdom of God, how many, question for the audience, how many sick people are in the kingdom of God? I think I gave you this answer already.
None.
None. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God. So Jesus brought the kingdom of God here. He showed us what the kingdom of God looks like. Who are we? Are we kingdom people?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. The 12 disciples of Jesus had a mission. Okay, we'll start with the 12. It's for the apostles. I know. We're not supposed to do this. So the mission of the 12. Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 8. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Any questions, class? Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out the demons. I remember at a Bible Institute, we were praying for people, and we had a bunch of walking or leg problems, and people were walking. They couldn't walk before. And the Shalom Ministry, that's what I was trying to struggle for, was taping everything, and they're from India. And we said, boy, isn't this something? Do you think, you know, God's really working here? And then they looked at us and said, well, yeah, that's real nice. But in India, they come back to life. They come from the dead. Oh, okay. All right. I get your point. Chapter 10 of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, in every town and place where he himself was about to come. Healed the sick in it and said to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. Amen. In chapter 9 of John, as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That was the question. Well, who did it? Was it his or his parents? And Jesus answered them, neither he or his parents sinned. It was so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the work of the one who sent us while it is day. We have to do his work. Jesus didn't always equate sickness to sin, but sin came into the world and then came sickness.
Yes.
Okay. Jesus not always equate sickness to sin, but sin came in the world and then came sickness. Move a little bit to God's healing plan. When we begin any ministry, we should first seek God's vision for that ministry. We were given this scripture a little bit earlier, so the Lord must be wanting to emphasize this. Without vision, the people will perish. Without vision, the people will perish. Proverbs 29:18. We must see the big picture to know how we fit into it, and we need to pray for that. Where we are? Are we intercessor? Are we one laying on hands? Where is God equipping us? And what is he equipping us for? Jesus equipped the apostles to heal by taking them on a tour with him. Jesus then sent the apostles out with authority to heal those who needed to be healed. We as ministers of healing need to take that same tour through scripture to know the plan and be ready to be used in it when the opportunity arises in our everyday circumstances. We need to be able to use that in everyday circumstances. There's a guy that I would work with, and he went out on the steel or something. He fell, and he was worried about an injury claim. And so he'd come in the office, he'd knock on the office door, my office door, and he said, I need to talk to you, I need to talk to you. Can I come in? Can I come in? He slammed the door. Said, yeah, Mike, what's the matter? And he says, I just fell and I really hurt myself. Can you pray? So I prayed and asked the Lord to heal him and restore him. And he was healed. He was renewed. He didn't have a claim. Not about me. What it's about is when you are on call, whether that be work, we heard that, God at work, we heard that in the onset on this weekend, or whether you're in ministry or wherever it is, you're on call. Jesus was tired, but he had mercy and he had love for those people. And he continued to do the work the Father had sent him to do. What else? Healing is proclaimed. Healing is accompanied by the proclamation of God's word and leads people to accept Jesus as Lord. So it's part of a big package. It's part of a bigger thing than we our little eyes can see. So what profit a man to gain perfect physical health but lose his soul? What profited a man to gain perfect physical health and lose his soul? You know, again, God's plan is part of a package, including such things as conversion, forgiveness, repentance, evangelization, vocation, ministry, and more. We look at the Holy Spirit at times as the wrecking ball. We have a nice, comfortable foundation and house built, but the Holy Spirit comes in and makes a little change at times. Sometimes it is not too comfortable, but it's part of a package. He wants a person to be healed. He wants that arm to be healed, but he wants that person in heaven. Nothing more. In that first song we said, he sent Jesus to this earth so that we would be with him in heaven. It's hard for us to fathom, but unconditional love. He sent Jesus into this world to bring us into this presence, into the Father's arms. He wants a person with the healed arm to be with him forever. And one of the Greek words for healing means salvation. Jeremiah prays, heal me, Lord, that I may be healed. Save me, that I may be saved. Healing is a sign, again, of the kingdom's presence. It rallies, restores, empowers believers to build the kingdom. When we see somebody healed, we get excited. I get excited. I know that. I get excited when I see Jesus doing something powerfully. It brings my faith level, hits the pegs. Our Heavenly Father loves his children. Again, he loves us and wants what's best for us. You know, I come from a German background, and, you know, it's tough to see a loving God sometimes, you know, beat us into submission, but that isn't who he is. God loves us so much. He doesn't need to beat us into submission. His son was beat into submission for us. So we need to just follow his son. Healers are raised up and disciple other healers. That's what we're doing here today. We need to raise other people up. I don't have too much more time on this earth. Might be tomorrow. It might be 20 years from now. My father's 97, going on 98. So I got good genes. And I never know. But we need to raise others up. Jesus heals the whole person. He wants us to be healed in every way, physically, mentally, spiritually, psychologically. Sexually healed. He wants the whole person to be healed. Jesus wants to heal families, the perfect family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the perfect community. If one family member suffers, all of us suffer. The body of Christ is suffering right now with this COVID separation. It's like we're separated from each other. We're separated from the Eucharist. We're separated from having that gift of communion of each other and of Christ. God the Father has authorized only one healing ministry, and that is his son. Jesus continues to heal today through us, not just me. I'm trying to encourage you, but he's healing through each one of you. You all have a gift. All of you have a gift. You're his living body, living body of Christ. Those words just really resonate with me, that God uses us in wherever we are, and we don't have to have any credentials, that he can use us if we're docile and open to the Holy Spirit. Another amazing thing is about Jesus' healing ministry is that in the Gospels, we never see Jesus praying for the sick. In James chapter 5, verse 14, we are called to pray for the sick. We had two talks on that, praying for the sick, preparing them, and so on and so forth. But we have no record of Jesus ever praying for the sick. We almost always healed by giving a command, as we talked about earlier. Jesus was able to heal by exercising his authority. He knew whom to command and what to command. And that's by operating, for us, that's by operating in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we're praying for somebody, the Lord's bringing things up. You need, there's somebody in your life, I believe, that hurt you, and we need to forgive that person. There's somebody that has run and done something against you that you need to also forgive. And so whatever the Lord brings up as you're praying, then that helps you to pray for that person. Okay, going to move now to, do I have the gift of healing? Do I have the gift of healing? Even when we know how to heal as Jesus heals, we must know that we are called to the healing ministry. All Christians can heal by their faith in Jesus Christ. That's Mark 16, 18. But not all are equally gifted healers. For example, almost all human beings can run, can sing, think, and so on. And they may be gifted in many, many ways. But Father Al said that only about one third of Christians are especially gifted in healing, but we all can pray for healing. And the best way to know if you have the gift of healing, try it.
Yeah.
Try it. You might like it. Try it. Just use it. Use that gift. Okay? A lot of times, Jesus will use the person that was healed, because who else would know about Jesus' healing than the one that's been healed? Now, I was healed of many things. Got a lot more to go, but the faith of knowing that he will heal helps my faith when I pray for someone. And that's what you're doing, too, when you're praying for someone. It's your faith a lot of times that's helping that person see that God will do what he says he will do. We'll talk a little bit about the identity and character of a healer. Those who are in the healing ministries must spend quality time to pray each day. Quality time to pray each day, not just the night of the healing service. I have a couple stories on that, but I'm running out of time. Quality time means prayer scheduled every day. Prayer scheduled every day. Not hit or miss. Prayer that we come before the Lord, allow him to fill us and use us, give us an understanding and insight as to who we are to pray for that day. Who are we to pray for that day, Lord? Healing ministers should afford themselves of the sacraments. Sacrament of reconciliation, confession. Some of these things seem so clear and so easy, but more, my wife and I and a number of the other team work in healing the heart ministry. And so we ask people, well, have you gone to confession? The base, you got church? I was a little tired last Sunday. I said, okay, well, you know, these seem so obvious, but they're not. So obviously a healing minister should be powered up, prayed up, sacrament up, mass up, all those things. Open yourself up to being filled with everything that's good in the Lord. Healer's life must be in order. He must be in some sort of Christian community or have some sort of spiritual direction. And he's not wandering around aimlessly. So that in our home-based community, there's a little rub that goes on once in a while. You know, that everybody's got rough edges on them. But to see that, to see it from somebody else's perspective, brings me or whoever that person is to holiness and brings us in under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So a healer must have some sort of community or spiritual foundation and spiritual mentor. A simple lifestyle. I always get a kick out of Betty and her car is live simply. She's got to simplify, simplify, simplify. No, we're not in the world. We need to have things to take care of ourselves, but we don't need to get everything that the neighbor has or whatever. Point is that you should live according, in accord with the spirit, and you not yield to the cravings of the flesh. The flesh will crave us to do many things. The world's always out there luring us in, but we are, again, children of the King. The Lord will often bestow on members of the healing ministry a special love for the sick. So if you have that special love for the sick draw you to them. You have a ministry for that. That is another indicator that you may have that call to a deeper healing ministry. We should pray often throughout the day for his love. We should pray that he would use us and that we would be bestowers of that love to everyone that we meet, whatever that is, workplace, home, grocery store, whatever that is. Spiritual gifts. God gives gifts of the Holy Spirit. Undeserving, yes. We do not deserve a thing. His dying on the cross. Where's the cross? No. Okay. His dying on the cross is paid the price for our being able to give and receive these gifts. So we're not deserving, but we are deserving because Christ made it possible. He freely bestowed these gifts on us. Unmerited favor. Paul lists healing as one of the charisms that are graciously distributed by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:9. The charisms are not rewards for virtue. They are not a sign of heroic sanctity. God gives freely in his work, a building up the body of Christ. We are his people. We are his ministers, and he builds us up. So it's not deserving of our own, freely given. Scripture in Acts 3:12 strongly rejects the idea that healing are a measure of holiness. Peter, often after healing the lame man at the temple, admonishes the bystanders, "Why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own power or our piety or our prayer life or whatever?" He walked by whom?
Jesus.
Amen. Well, we got one thing crossed, and that's the main thing. Jesus, allotting his gifts according to his will. The Holy Spirit also distributes graces, special graces among the faithful of every rank. By his gifts, he makes them fit and ready to undergo various tasks and offices for the renewal and building up of the church, his living church. As it is written, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. Whether these charisms be very remarkable or simple or widely diffused, they are to be received with thanksgiving and consolation, since they are fitting and useful for the needs of the church. Think the church needs anything right now? He needs you and me.
Amen.
He needs you and me.
Yes.
You and me. The spiritual gifts are to be sought after and used. So we have a little pamphlet on seek the spiritual gifts. That's up here as well. And my angel is holding that up. So you can come up afterwards and pick one of those up along with the healing booklet. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon or this morning for this great privilege of hearing the word, of accepting the word, of understanding our gifts that you have given and equipped us with, understanding that we are your sons and daughters, understanding that we are a living church, and without us, the church would die, because we reflect you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you again, Mother Mary, for your powerful intercession, all the angels and saints in heaven, and may God be glorified in everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we need to see the people that we're praying for. What could you not do before you came here today?
Stand up without using my arms.
Okay, let's see you do it. In the name of Jesus, stand up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Different? Is it different?
It is.
Okay, thank you, Jesus. We give you all praise and glory.
Okay.
Hey, I didn't touch you. Did I touch you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, this is God. Jimbo? What could you not do before you got here?
Pretty much everything, but it's the pain.
Okay, is there pain?
Pray over me. I feel the heat goes down my back. He generated discs in my head. I saw a hand here with a little cross and a chain. You talked about a chain. I'm watching, see this chain go across and the chain. We start talking about a chain. That's the, but right there, it spread it apart.
Oh, praise God.
Not as loud as it was, not as loud as it was. It's
better, so. Miracles are when? Instantaneous. Healings are? Takes a little more time. Keep praying. Keep trusting in that. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time and attention. I guess we'll see. Yes.
Hey, Mary Mass, I had a phone call.
Yes.
I canceled it out, but it was for a woman that needs healing on her stress. I was wondering if maybe earlier you say a little prayer for Lupex, who's a Mexican American.
Stress. Okay. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God, we pray that Lupe would give you, Lord Jesus, this stress in her life. In the name of Jesus, we come against stress and all its aggravations, stress, anxiety, worry, concern. Lord, we lay it at the foot of your cross. Lord, we ask you to dissolve it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask your healing love, mercy and salvation come upon her. And Lord, may she have the peace of knowing who you are in her life, that she, Lord, can call upon you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Healer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so what do we have? We have
1 to 130.
1 to 130, okay.
I have five names. I have another spot. Did anyone not sign?
I'll take it.
Okay. You two, Catherine, later. Sure. Are you staying for dinner?
It's not as fast as not today.
Okay.
Okay. You're staying for dinner.
I can do it later. Right now,
no, no. We'll put you after dinner.
Thanks.
I only have one spot for it. If we have time, stick around and we'll stick you in there.
Okay, so we ready for dinner? Okay, so let's say praise. Let's say grace. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, for these ideas which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the souls of the faithfully departed, for the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And Lord, may you heal all those that are on our minds right now that we have been asked to pray for. Lord, allow us to step out in faith, Lord. And we thank you for this nourishment that you've given us physically, but you have nourished us spiritually. May we take that nourishment and share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless the cook.
God bless you. Amen.
Yeah. Might have a brain that when you leave the meeting, it'll automatically.